The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
I can't get enough of that. You know, I've had that for years. That is Chris Isaak doing an intro to the show. And I played that specifically today because Howie Klein is coming up today. It's Thursday, so it means it's Howie Klein Day. And I forget that a lot of people, you know, tune into the show and don't really, you know, haven't been here for a long time and may not know Howie's background. Howie Klein and I have known each other for over 25 years. We met in Los Angeles when I was doing music radio, and Howie was president of Reprise Records. Reprise Records, division of Warner Brothers. One of the things I want to ask him about today is Eric Clapton, because Clapton was one of his artists. And Clapton, we're notified here in South Florida because he's got some shows coming up, but there was also a piece in Rolling Stone magazine. Eric Clapton said he will not perform at any venues that require attendees to prove that they've been vaccinated against COVID-19. What the hell? So, what that has to do with Chris Isaak is really nothing, except that Chris Isaak was also on Reprise Records. And I used to use that as a show open. I've got a lot of them from throughout the years. And then because I got a kick out of that one, Boca decided to make another one along the same lines, kind of, sort of.
Hi, everybody. Wait, let me get up a minute. 1 second. Yeah, I listen to Nicole Sandler.
Yeah?
Is it time for the Nicole Sandler show?
Yeah?
Oh, I forgot to turn the computer on. Let me just walk over here and I'll boot up my computer because I don't want... Oh, crap, I just... Never mind, it's okay, I got another one. Leave it there, the cat will get it. Got a little tune here, a little song to sing for you. That Nicole, she does something.
Uh-huh.
She's really there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And does things. Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Thanks, Boca. So that is our pal, Boca Brittany Summers, poking fun at one of the Chris Isaak opens. There is another one when we feel really musical.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. But once she grabs, she won't let go.
I know, I'm stalling.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Uh-huh.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Oh, no.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock,
yeah.
Rockin' Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
There you go.
Just
I love
like
it. You know, it wasn't designed to be like Chris Isaak doing an open for my show. It was during an interview, and he's playful like that. Anyway, there you go. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. Yes, I'm in a musical kind of mood. And again, just to reiterate, I brought this up because I am going to ask Howie Klein about Eric Clapton. I love who wrote this in here. Somebody in the YouTube chat room made a funny. It was, I can't find it. Someone said, he don't like vaccine. Get it? Cocaine. I know. I shouldn't attempt to sing. Here I was. White Rabbit. He don't like vaccine. You can put it to your own music. All right. So who watched the Joe Biden town hall last night? I did because it's kind of my job. Right. So Joe Biden and CNN had a town hall last night. It was the first one of these kind of things that Biden did. And I give him credit for doing it because he needs to talk to the American people. The problem is Joe Biden, even on his best day, has always been somewhat, he's known to have these verbal gaffes. I know I should have pulled some audio from throughout the years because he's made a number of them. You know, the most famous is probably the night that the Affordable Care Act was signed into law and Obama's getting ready to go on television with a signing ceremony or whatever. And Joe Biden whispers to him, "This is a big fucking deal," in a loud kind of stage whisper. So everybody heard it. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that Joe Biden would do. Well, you know, he's got a few others. So recently, I think his handlers try to keep him away from those periods when he could get himself into too much trouble with, you know, just saying stupid things because he was always a gaffe machine. And the most recent example is probably just a few days ago when he was asked and he said that Facebook is killing people with its disinformation. And though technically I think he is correct, I wonder, do I still have this clip up here? I had it for days and then I never used it. Let's see if it's on this page. Hold on. Joe Biden, Facebook. No, I guess I don't. But anyway, that's what he did. He said, Facebook is killing people. And then he took a step back and tried to correct it. You know, oh, here it is. So here's the original one.
What's your message to platforms like Facebook?
They're killing people.
They're killing people.
I mean, it really, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated.
Well.
And they're killing people.
And they're killing people. And then it was just a couple of days later that he said, whoops.
I mean precisely what I said. I'm glad you asked me that.
I mean precisely what I said, but now I'll walk it back.
One, I had just read that on the Facebook pointed out that it was pointed out that Facebook, of all the misinformation, 60% of the misinformation came from 12 individuals. That's what the article said.
Okay.
So I was asked that question about what do I think is happening? Facebook isn't killing people. These 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Anyone listening to it is getting hurt by it.
Okay.
It's killing people.
Ah.
It's bad information.
So it's not Facebook killing people.
Facebook, instead of taking it personally, that somehow I'm saying Facebook is killing people, that they would do something about the misinformation.
Oh, come on.
Outrageous misinformation about the vaccine.
Okay, all right, Joe, we get it. So, you know, that kind of thing. He did okay last night. He had a few moments. Before we get into any of those clips, though, I have to remind you of what happened 1 year ago today. 1 year ago today, that great statesman from Tejas, I'm being facetious here in case you were wondering, Ted Cruz made a promise to the American people. He was convinced. He knew that something certainly was going to happen should Joe Biden win. And so today is 1 year to the day after he said this. For some reason, the audio level on this clip is fairly low. I'm going to crank it all the way, but you may need to turn it up just a little bit. If you want to, if you're watching a video feed, the captions show up on the screen. So maybe you don't have to turn it up to hear what Ted Cruz has to say. All right, Raphael, take it away. What was that you said a year ago today?
If it ends up that Biden wins in November, I hope he doesn't. I don't think he will. But if he does.
Yeah.
I guarantee you the week after the election, suddenly all those Democratic governors, all those Democratic mayors will say, everything's magically better. Go back
really?
To work, go back yeah. to school. Suddenly the problems are solved. You won't even have to wait for Biden to be sworn in.
Uh-huh.
All they'll need is election day.
Really?
And suddenly their willingness to just destroy people's lives and livelihoods, they will have accomplished their task. That's wrong. Uh-huh. It's cynical. And we shouldn't be a part of it.
Okay, so a year ago today, Ted Cruz guaranteed you that if Joe Biden should win, that immediately COVID would disappear. We'd all go back to work and we'd never hear about it again. How'd that work out for you, Ted? Raph? Huh? Someone needs to make these people accountable for the things they say, you know? The fact of the matter is, COVID is not history, did not disappear the day Joe Biden was elected mysteriously, magically. It's still raging. And it's raging because people like him and his ilk have been telling everyone it's a hoax. Don't believe, just like shit like that, right? And furthermore, they've been saying regarding the vaccine, don't take it. It's not safe. You don't know where it's been. You don't know how it was developed. But, you know, while Donald Trump was in office, it was the bee's knees. It was, you know, it would cure the common cold. It's the hypocrisy is just stunning. So I just thought I'd point that out to you. All right. Hi, David. My husband's on the line. What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for you and for your listeners.
Okay.
So who is more delusional, the maggots and QAnon nutcases who believe that the former guy is going to be reinstated on August 14th?
Yeah.
Or Joe Biden thinking that there are 10 Republicans who don't hate his fucking guts and are going to do everything in their power to see to it that he fails?
Yeah.
What makes him dream that he can get anything through this Senate by maintaining the filibuster? That's question number one.
Yeah.
Question number two. Of the 50 states in the United States, although I think one of them, who is it, has a unicameral legislature? I think it might be Nebraska. At any rate, of the 49 states that are definitely bicameral legislatures, which of them have a filibuster in any of those chambers?
None of them. Filibuster does not exist on the state level. It doesn't exist in the Constitution either. Right.
How are they getting things done if the filibuster would bring everything in our Congress to a halt? How are these states getting anything done?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Hey, David, I'm going to run because I got another call coming in. So let's see what this person has to say. I'll see you in a bit. Bye. Okay, hi. Who's this?
Hi, Nicole. This is Angry Michael from Angry Black Man Michael from Memphis. How are you doing?
Okay, Angry Black Man Michael from Memphis. What's happening, Michael?
Yeah, that's what we get. That's what we get labeled. Joe Biden's speech yesterday, and my wife tells me I got to stop watching this.
It wasn't a speech. It was a town hall meeting. You're talking about the town hall meeting or a speech he did earlier in the day?
The town hall meeting, the speech where he just punks out when you say the F word.
Yeah. Yeah.
The explanation that he gave yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not going to blow up here. So do nothing.
Yeah.
So basically you got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. He said what he did was he proved that he understands the situation. But when asked why, you know, Don Lemon said to him, so, you know, that the filibuster is Jim Crow reincarnated, is Jim Crow living on. Why would you let it go on? He goes, because otherwise we throw everything into chaos and nothing gets done. Well, if you do nothing about the filibuster, nothing gets done. So what, you're afraid of some chaos?
Right. That's the conversation we had at the office this morning. I don't know why these people try to have these conversations with me, and they say stupid things. So basically, well, you can look at, because they're going to get the infrastructure passed. Let me paint a picture for you. I'm an inbred ass backwards Memphis, Tennessee. Let's say I'm 25 years old, if I have a record of some sort. Because here is it's one of those states where you have to pay back everything, you know, before you can vote again.
Oh, okay. So you have to pay off any debts or anything. So, yeah, like there's no.
Right. So essentially it's a poll tax state.
Yes, it is. Right.
So I work every day. Let's say I got a crappy job. I'm guessing, well, every job is a job. So
yeah,
I'm making, say, $10 an hour. Ends meeting, barely. I can't participate in the voting process. My record, because of things I've done in my past, keep me from doing certain jobs. But, you know, I'm an adult. That's fine. I'm 25. Man, I miss 25. But
you're,
I'm 25.
25? Wow.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Right.
I can't even participate. So if I can't vote, I can't do a basic thing in this country. I'm not a citizen. Why in the blue hell would I care about a bridge being built? Infrastructure doesn't mean anything to me if I can't participate in the process. I don't get a choice in anything that happens as far as laws. And I think that's Biden's problem.
Well,
it's never going to affect him or anybody who looks like him. He don't give a shit.
Okay.
And he's not the only one. You have Kamala Harris. No offense to Kamala Harris. Everybody, well, not everybody. People were mad at you yesterday and you guessed because of what you said about Barack Obama.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry, folks.
I'm sorry.
They got mad at
They did. Yeah, Barack Obama left the Democratic Party in a shambles. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, they lost thousands, hundreds of seats. Look, we got the
White House,
but you lost everything else, and he didn't try to do in no balls at all.
He did not help the party. He did not help the party. He left the party weaker than it's been, certainly this millennium, you know?
Yeah. But my wife said I got to stop watching it because, man, I'm like, I have to watch because I have to know what they're going to pull next.
Right, you do have to know what's going on. The thing is, though, Michael, about infrastructure... About infrastructure, you do need a new bridge because regardless of whether you vote or not, you drive over one of those bridges and it goes down, you go down with it. It doesn't matter what your politics are.
But explain that to a 20, 25-year-old that can't vote. You don't
right.
tell them how important voting
know.
Is. You can't bother to, I mean, you can't connect the two. They see the bridge every day.
Yeah.
They don't see these people that we elect and re-elect and re-elect and they go there and do nothing.
I know. We need to purge most of the Democratic Party. Now, that doesn't nothing about the Republicans. The Republicans need to go away, too. But the Democratic Party is what we're concerned with right now. Hey, Michael, I'm going to move on because people are calling, so I want to get in as many calls as I can. Thank you so much, and take care of yourself.
Thank you, Nicole.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, Nicole.
Yes?
Hey, Nicole, how you doing today?
Okay, who's this?
Long time listener, first time caller. It's Scotty.
Scotty. Okay, Scotty.
Yeah.
From?
Hey, I just want to talk about that last caller talking about how they don't need anything to fix their bridges. I think that there's something wrong in their head. We need to fix our bridges.
He said we need to fix our bridges.
Our infrastructure.
Absolutely. That's not what he was saying. But he was saying he's concerned that he can't vote and that, you know, nothing's being done about that. He knows we need to fix the bridges.
He thinks he can't vote. All he needs is an ID to vote.
No, that's not true. Where are you? Who are you? And where are you calling from?
My name is Scotty, and I'm calling from the great state of Oklahoma.
Oh, wow. So you think all it takes is an ID to vote? You know that's nonsense, right?
I'll tell you this. I went to the DMV, and I renewed my license, and they asked me, sir, are you registered to vote? And I said no. And they printed out a form, and they said, we'll go ahead and we'll mail this to the state. We'll get you registered to vote.
Cool.
It was that simple.
Well, that's maybe where you are, it was that simple. But you're also, I don't think you're a black man.
I am not a black man.
No.
But to say that for someone being black or white, it's harder for one person to vote from another. The government sets the system. The government
no,
sets
each
the
state
system.
Sets.
The government doesn't
each
say
state,
if you're black, you've got to jump through
each,
10 more hoops.
Well, that's exactly what the state of Texas is doing. That's exactly what the state of Georgia is doing. Maybe in Oklahoma, I don't know because I don't know the specific laws that they've introduced in Oklahoma, but it sounds like you're a white man. And they want you to vote because they figure you'll probably vote Republican. If you're in Oklahoma and you're a white guy, you're going to probably vote Republican. They are keeping minorities from voting. That's why the Voting Rights Act was in there in the first place. That's why we need it back. All right, I'm going to move on because we got another call coming in from the 434 area code. Hi, who's this? With a noisy phone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, how's it going?
Okay, who's this?
This is Linwood from Charlotte.
Oh, hey, Linwood.
Hey, as I'm going to respond to your last caller,
yeah.
The Democrats are sort of used to losing.
They are.
If you look at the mentality of a Kyrsten Sinema and a Joe Manchin,
mm-hmm.
they're used to being in the minority, and they're used to having the sort of minority control
mm-hmm.
to stop the majority. So that's why they're fighting hard to keep the filibuster because they know they're going to go back into minority.
Right. Hey, Linwood, are you outside in the wind or something? Your phone is really, really noisy.
Actually, I'm on my I'm under Wi-Fi. I'm calling you from Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
And I have a fan on, so I'm
sorry. Oh, it's the fan. It's that noise. Okay. Now it stopped.
And so I think they're used to losing, and I think it's frustrating for the voters that primarily are non-white voters that vote Democrat 90 to 70 to 60% that they're not getting anything done because the white Democratic establishment wants to keep on getting their pockets laid, at the same time pay lip service to progressive ideas while taking money on the back end from Walmart, Target, in these
I don't know.
Companies.
I think you might be overthinking it a little bit. I think Kyrsten Sinema thought she could play both sides against the middle. Thought, all right, I'll be a Democrat in Arizona, which has been traditionally a pretty conservative state. So here, I'll play both sides against the middle. She had been enjoying relatively high approval ratings until now. Now, something came out yesterday, a poll that said she is tanking, and the people in Arizona are pissed because of her stance on the filibuster, and that I think her support is now stands at something like 22%, and people said they would like to see her primaried if she keeps this up. Kyrsten Sinema is going to find herself primaried and out of a job, and that would be a good thing. At this point, I think you're overthinking it. I think Kyrsten Sinema, I listened to Howie Klein, who will be on with us in about 10 minutes, and he tells us she's a nut. The only thing she cares about is herself. She has no ideology. It's like a lot of these Republicans who will go any way the wind blows as long as it keeps them in office, because they're more concerned about their jobs and their paycheck than they are with their constituents and defending the Constitution, which is what they swear an oath to when they get sworn into office.
And they get up, and the Democrats get upset when a Ralph Nader comes in and did what he did in 2000.
Yep.
Or when Jill Stein did what she did in 2016. Now you're mad at the Green Party.
Well, the Green Party is a whole other story. The Green Party pisses me off because they, you know what, instead of working during the other 3 years of a presidential election cycle to build the party to become a force, they disappear. And then the year before the presidential election, they pop up with a nominee and say, we're going to run for president. And what they wind up doing is taking votes from the Democrat, which makes it, which is a plus for the Republicans. Sadly, like it or not, we have a two-party system. We should, at this point, have not only a second party, but a third party, not only a third party, but a fourth party, too, because the two major parties are so screwed up, but we don't. So anyway, I'm going to move on because we got someone else calling in, and I want to get in as many calls as I can as you guys call in. Someone from the 313 area code. Hi, who's this?
Nicole, this is Scotty.
Oh, it's Scotty again. Yeah, I'm going to hang up on you again. Bye, Scotty. Scotty, who I don't believe is in, where did he say he was? Oklahoma? Yeah, he is not in Oklahoma. And he's calling back again. Scotty, get the message. I'm not taking your call because you are a troll. I can pick you out like that. All right, I guess what I should do, because we talked about it, is play some of these clips of Joe Biden talking about the filibuster. How about that? So he did this town hall last night with CNN, and here's the clip that I pulled on the filibuster. It's not the whole thing, but you get an idea of how it went from this clip. I do have another. It's like 6 minutes long, so I'm not going to play you a 6 minute clip right now, but I will play this. Here we go. All right, so here, take it away, Joe and Don.
I would go back to that where you have to maintain the floor. You have to stand there and talk and hold the floor. You can't just say
I understand that. But what difference is that if you hold the floor for, you know, a day or a year? What difference does it make? Here's the thing for me. You talked about people, and this is important for people who look like me. My grandmother would sit around when I was a kid, fifth grade, had a fifth grade education. I learned that she couldn't read when I was doing my homework. She would tell me stories about people asking her to count the number of jelly beans in the jar. Yep. Or the soap. Uh-huh. So why is protecting the filibuster, is that more important than protecting voting rights, especially for people who fought and died for that?
No.
Nah. No. Sorry. I can't mute the Skype.
I want to see the United States Congress, the United States Senate, pass S1 and S4, the John Lewis Act, get them to my desk so I can sign them. But here's the deal. What I also want to do, I want to make sure we bring along not just all the Democrats.
we bring along Republicans who I know better. They know better than this.
They know
better. What I don't want to do is get wrapped up right now in the argument whether or not this is all about the filibuster or all. Look, the American public, you can't stop them from voting. You tried last time.
Yeah, they can.
More people voted last time than any time in American history.
True.
In the middle of the worst pandemic in American history.
True.
More people did.
That's true.
And they showed up.
They did.
They're going to show up again.
Let's
hope.
They're
going to do it again. But what I want to do is I'm trying to bring the country together. And I don't want the debate to only be about whether or not we have a filibuster or exceptions to the filibuster or the going back to the way the filibuster had to be used before.
But isn't that the only way you're going to get it done right now?
No, I don't believe that. I think we can get it done.
If you.
Yeah, okay. So he thinks they're going to get it done. Let me tell you, Joe, they're not going to get it done. Here's one clip that was not in that clip, part of the same discussion.
When I got to the United States Senate at a time when we had guys like Jim Eastland and Strom Thurmond and Robert F. Byrd and a whole range of people who were very, very conservative on race, to say the least. Even then, if you were to filibuster, you had to stand on the floor and hold the floor.
Yeah.
There were significantly fewer filibusters in those days, in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement. I would go back to that where you have to maintain the floor. You have to stand there and talk and hold the floor. You can't just say
I understand that. But what difference is that if you hold the floor for, you know, a day or a year? What difference does it make? Here's the thing for me. You talked about. So why is protecting the filibuster, is that more important than protecting voting rights, especially for people who fought and died for that?
Hello.
No.
There was no satisfactory answer last night. And sadly, Joe basically said, you know, we're going to have to get it done. I wish I had that clip. That you know what? I'm going to find it. I'm probably making a mistake doing this. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Give me one example of my.
Okay. See, it was him again. And and not only, you know, Scotty, and I think he's the guy who's like trolling me on YouTube in the comments section. And then the troll from Albuquerque called in, too. So, you know, I'm slowly but surely keeping track of these people's phone numbers. All right. Let me see if very quickly I can't find this other Joe Biden clip. And you see, I'm doing Brad Friedman's show tonight, and I pulled this clip. Anthony DePalma.
No, that's not it.
That's not it at all. I don't know where it is. But there was anyway, Joe Biden last night on the, you know, he did say that the filibuster is a relic of Jim Crow. And gee, now I can't find that other clip. But basically, he said that that we can get past it, that he doesn't want to throw Congress into chaos whereby nothing would get done. Well, if you don't do something about the filibuster, Joe, nothing's going to get done. Therein lies the problem. All right. I'm taking my life in my hands doing this. We'll try it one more time. Okay, who's this?
Give me an example of minority voter suppression, please.
Yeah. You know, Scott, just turn off the show. Don't listen anymore. Okay? Do me a favor. I really don't need trolls. I'd rather just talk to my dog Jackson and the people hanging out in the chat room. I don't need trolls out there. And by the way, I've got all these phone numbers that you called from. They're probably all fake. All right. Well, I guess it's that time, right? Should we just get Howie on the line? Why don't we do that? Because we're going downhill fast. All right. Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies today? Is that yours? All right. Come on. Let's go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole.
How are you?
So, I just got off the phone. I was just boiling. You were the excuse I used to finally hang up. But it was, you know, someone called me out of the blue to get a Blue America endorsement. And she started speaking, and the first words out of her mouth is that she's a Filipina, and she'll be the first Filipina in the state legislature.
Okay.
And I didn't understand that she said Filipina. I thought I said, well, wait a minute. Bonta, who's now the attorney general, was in the state legislature, and there were other Filipinos that were no, but there were no women Filipinos.
Ay,
it was Java Filipina.
I got it.
And then it was just all about identity politics. And I said to her, please talk to me about policy. Don't talk to me about identity politics. I hate identity politics.
Uh-huh.
And she kept talking about it.
Oh,
she wouldn't stop. And then I said, look, if you want to continue this conversation, I'll ask you questions, you answer them. So everything that I said went back to identity politics.
Oh,
I tried to get her to talk about, she claimed she was a progressive. I tried to get her to talk about issues, always back, right back to, you know, we need more women, we need more API, we need more, you know, and all good things. Yes, but how about, you know, how about some policies? How about this, just discussing policy? Couldn't get her to do it. Then I finally said, who did you vote for in 2016? Hillary Clinton. I said, well, you just told me you're a progressive, so you didn't vote for Bernie, you voted for Hillary, and you're telling me you're a progressive. Why? Well, because I'm a woman. I said, look, I have a radio show to do right now. Let's talk some other century.
Or not, right? Wow. Wow. And so you get calls like this out of the blue, people wanting a Blue America endorsement.
God, every day, every day. And she had my phone number, which is unlisted, so someone I know gave it to her. And by the way, she's running in my neighborhood. She wouldn't be my rep, but she's the neighborhood next door. I could walk there in 10 minutes. And the incumbent, now she had a lot of bad things to say about the incumbent, but the incumbent, from what I hear, is one of the most progressive members of the state legislature. You know, I don't doubt the kind of things that she was telling me about her, but on the other hand, she's still probably one of the most progressive ones. So anyway,
wow,
it just got my blood going, and now let's use it for something useful.
Okay. All right. Well, but you know what? Before we get into politics, I have to ask you about something else. And, you know, I tend to forget that we always have new people coming to the show who maybe don't know our backgrounds, and I said I was going to ask you today about Eric Clapton. There's a story. He's got a few shows scheduled down here and a tour. And there's a piece in Rolling Stone. Let me just read the headline. Eric Clapton will not play shows where proof of vaccine is required. And his quote was even better than that. He said, I will not. Oh God, where's the quote? Oh, it's not in this article. Something along the lines, I won't be in discriminatory discriminatory audiences or something like that. Basically, if they require masks or proof of vaccine, he will cancel the show. Was Eric Clapton a dick when you were president of Reprise Records?
If he was, I never saw any sign of it.
Wow.
I will tell you, though, that I know a lot of people very close to him who are very, very concerned about the way he's been behaving lately.
Wow.
So people who have spent a lot of time with him and who have told me that something's wrong, and it's very seriously wrong.
Oh, boy. So there's something going. Look, it happens sometimes when people get older. And it's, you know, he and Van Morrison teamed up to write this horrible song, you know. Just
I love
horrible.
Eric. Let's not talk about him, please.
But I have to go. Look, I love
but
Eric Clapton too.
I mean, I know what you're saying. I feel terrible. And I hope whatever whatever ailing him gets better.
Yeah, I guess. Look, he's responsible for me winning on Rock and Roll Jeopardy because I basically ran the Clapton category. and I won because of it. And I've been a Clapton fan for years, and I've had ups and downs with him. In fact, when I was in college, I saw one of the worst concerts I ever attended, which was Eric Clapton, who was obviously stoned on heroin and nodding out on the guitar as he's playing. Terrible.
Now he was on heroin, right? But now he won't take a vaccine because he thinks it might damage him.
Right. Right. And Van Morrison, same thing. He's a genius. I love his music. But one of the worst concerts I ever went to was in L.A. Van Morrison did the whole concert facing the back of the stage, never once turned his face to the audience, never said a word to the audience, and did all songs that nobody ever heard before. I've also seen both of them put on great shows. But, you know, I'm certainly not going to spend money to see either one of them, given their, you know, their assault on measures to get rid of this virus.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but, for various reasons that we don't have to go into, it came out today how many Republicans and how many Democrats in Congress are vaccinated.
Right.
So the Democratic number is 100%.
Every single one.
Democrat is vaccinated, every single one, whether they are the most progressive ones or the most conservative ones. They're all vaccinated. Republicans, want to take a guess?
I'd say 30%.
54%.
Oh,
and that includes 17 who were vaccinated today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I forget who it was because I glanced by it real quickly, but one of them said, well, don't you have to ask the Democrats that too? Yeah.
That was Ronnie Johnson, the psychopath from Texas, used to be like Trump. He was like Trump's doctor.
He was not
on. He's an alcoholic and a rapist.
Okay, but Howie, he wasn't only Trump's doctor. He was Barack Obama's White House doctor. How does Obama go through at least one term? You know, he wasn't the White House physician for the entire 8 years, though he worked in the White House physician's office, not only during the entirety of the Obama administration, but during the Bush administration, too. And at least for the last part of Obama's presidency, Ronnie Jackson was the official White House doctor. He was Barack Obama's doctor. And Obama couldn't see that there was something seriously wrong with this man?
I guess not, although when did the alcoholism charges come around? That he was drunk on duty and he was also giving people
pills.
He
was the candy man. Right.
I'm not sure if that was while Obama was president or while Trump was president.
I think it was Trump.
But he was a very, very troubled guy
who
was high all the time and didn't seem competent. So I don't know how he wound up keeping his job. And then a seat opened up in the most conservative Republican district in the whole United States, the Texas Panhandle. And he went for it and won.
It's amazing. I know. He won. And he is one of the biggest bullshitters on the stage. He's just, I saw some of his talk at the CPAC convention, and every time he opens his mouth, all I can think is, how did Obama let this man examine him and not know that there was something off there?
Right. Well, I mean, presumably he wasn't as insane then as
until
he as
Trump?
He's become.
Until he caught a whiff of the Trump swamp?
Like the way you were describing Eric just now.
Oh, it's a scary world out there, Howie Klein. So, so here we are. All right. So you got the crazies. And by the way, in Texas, where Ronnie Jackson is now a congressman, our old friend Alan West is running for governor. He was the Republican state chairman, and he left under weird circumstances. Apparently, you know, he's not everybody's favorite Republican in Texas, and now he's mounted a challenge to Greg Abbott for governor. So he's primarying the sitting governor, who's a friend of Donald Trump's. This can't end well.
Not only is primarying him from the right. I mean, we're now getting into like some really weird territory here.
Oh my
I mean,
God.
Greg Abbott is about as far right as you can be. This guy is found a little tiny space to creep into right of that.
Oh my God.
Which only pushing Greg Abbott to be even more right wing and insane.
Yeah.
And I don't have to tell you, you know, he was at one time, I think for one term, the congressman from the West Palm Beach area of Florida.
Alan, what's his name? No, he was
West.
Alan West was my congressman. He right
oh, he
here,
was your
my congressman.
That's, I knew it was the East Coast of Texas, of Florida. I didn't realize he was your guy.
That's when I got arrested. This is 11, 12 years ago now.
Of course.
I went to the town hall meeting to try to ask him about his vote to privatize Medicare, and he had me arrested and kept overnight in the Broward County Jail, where I was maced by a guard because I dared to open my mouth. And he was asked about it. He said, "Oh, I hear she spent a lovely night in custody." Ugh. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Howie Klein, did you watch? I think I know the answer here. Did you watch any of Joe Biden's town hall on CNN last night?
Well, no, I watched it this morning, though.
Oh, you did?
On YouTube.
Okay.
Or on CNN, online. And yes, of course, you know, I was sickened by it, and I have a post coming out about it later. I don't know. I mean, I guess you're not supposed to say this, but he's obviously losing his mind, and, you know, maybe Kamala Harris is going to be president sooner than we thought.
Although, you know what? I hear that, and I hear the right saying. I actually think he's pretty damn lucid for a guy who of his age. I'll say that. I don't think he's losing his mind. I think he's just a little slow, both for a number of reasons. One is he's a stutterer, and stutterers take time to spit out the words so that they don't stutter. And two, I think he's old in his mind. He's just a little slower, but I don't think he's lost it. I just think.
Well, I don't think neither of those things are were signifiers for me.
Okay.
Neither the slowness wasn't. It was more of the content of what he had to say and the way he said it, mixing together all sorts of things that he's very, very hard to follow.
Yeah.
His thought patterns jump from one place to another. I listened the other day to this doctor who was describing Trump as being senile.
Yes.
And everything he said about Trump when it was a few years ago, you could say about Biden.
You think applies to Biden.
Just, you know, talking about syntax
and
the use of phrases. And, I mean, Biden, you know, obviously the part that flipped me out was when Biden started talking about the filibuster. And listening to him, you couldn't tell what he was saying and why. I mean, he was using the arguments to get rid of the filibuster to defend the filibuster.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think the guy is confused. And now the White House is going to have to try to, you know, clean up the mess.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the one answer that really made me think, oy, Joe, step back and just, you know, less is more, was the question from the Republican restaurant owner who said, you know, I can't find people to work for me anymore. His answer was nonsense. It was gibberish. It was word salad. It was, he just should have shut up. He should have just said, you're right.
That's what I mean by being senile.
Yeah.
Not that he's slow, but that he, you know, why not just say, people want more money.
He
can't find workers, pay, you know, offer more money.
Well, he did. And he started out, he said, well, that's because instead of $7.50 an hour, you need to pay them $15. And then instead of just stopping, he keeps talking. And that's his problem. That's where the gaffe machine comes, when he doesn't know how to stop. Just answer the question, say you need to pay them more, period. Move on to the next. But then he keeps going, and he digs himself into a hole.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, I was I cringe when I hear him speaking. I can't take it.
Yeah. Now, okay. So now let's talk about what happened this week. So yeah, it's like a comedy of errors there in D.C. So you have Nancy Pelosi. First, you have the Republicans who said no to the bipartisan
committee.
No, the first one, that what they were going to do along the lines of the 9/11 commission, right, to
right.
investigate.
Yeah.
And the Senate said, no, we're not doing that. Then they tried to do.
Wait. Yes, you're right. The Senate said no. But keep in mind something else.
Mm-hmm.
All these Republicans who followed Scalise and McCarthy, they said no, too.
Right.
They were outvoted.
Yep.
But they were against it.
Exactly. They were against it.
From what I'm hearing, McCarthy went to McConnell.
Wait, McCarthy went to McConnell and said what?
You got to kill this thing.
Oh, wow. Oh, because Donald told him you got to kill this thing because he takes his marching orders from the orange one.
Right, and the orange one doesn't talk to McConnell.
Right. How do they get anything? Well, I was going to say, how do they get anything done? But then again, they don't.
Their idea of getting something done is stopping things from happening.
Exactly.
That's what a conservative does.
Right, that's what they do. So it comes down to this House Select Committee. Nancy Pelosi's in charge, and she says, all right, we will have, you get to pick five, I'll pick seven because we're in the majority, but one of her picks is a Republican. And I'm sorry, you don't get much more Republican than Liz Cheney. Now, she's not batshit crazy, or maybe she is, but she believes in the Constitution above party. She believes in country above party. She believes that these people mounted an insurrection on January 6th and it must be investigated. She knows that the big lie is going on. So at least she's willing to tell the truth about some things. So they could have had an equal representation on this committee. With Liz Cheney on board, there would be six Democrats and six Republicans. But Nancy Pelosi said, well, two of these people are like really fucked up. In fact, the reason
they were already, but as soon as they were picked, they were already going running to the media and saying that we have to investigate Antifa.
Right.
And this is not serious. And they were just putting down the committee and undermining it.
That's right.
And Nancy Pelosi didn't reject these people because they voted against impeachment.
Right. There was one guy.
She didn't even reject them because they voted not to to certify Biden, because
that's
she
right.
allowed
she
one, who,
one
did vote, who did vote not to certify to be on the committee. She went after these two and said they can't be on the committee because they were already undermining the committee.
Exactly.
And she said we need to have a serious, a serious committee, not a circus freak show.
Right. Well, here, Howie, yesterday she just issued a written statement. Today she went up to the microphones. Here's what she said.
So as the legislation allows, I did not accept two of the five people were appointed. They have made statements and taken actions that I think would impact the integrity of the commission, of the committee, the work of the committee. This is deadly serious. This is about our Constitution. It's about our country. It's about assault on the Capitol that is being mischaracterized for some reason at the expense of finding the truth for the American people. I'm very pleased the response that we have received across the country and from my caucus on this subject, and I'm very pleased with the leadership of Benny Thompson, our chairman, yeah. Wow. The bipartisan nature of our committee with Liz Cheney, the other members on the committee who have experience and patriotism as their calling cards. So we will proceed. And as I said, they're in the process of, the committee is in the process of hiring staff to that end.
All right. So she didn't really say anything new. But Howie, Diane Russell in the chat room just said Nancy Pelosi has added Adam Kinzinger to the panel.
Oh, great. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
She's also adding a staffer who's not a member of Congress as an advisor to the committee, a former Republican from Virginia.
Oh, okay.
So, she's doing what she can, but there's a reason, very, very specific and very personal reason why McCarthy is trying to kill this thing. And not just McCarthy, but also Jim Jordan. Both of them are going to be called
as witnesses. Absolutely.
And that's because they both talked to Trump while the in McCarthy's case, it was while the demonstration was going on, and while not just the demonstration, but after they broke into the Capitol, and McCarthy freaked out and called them and said, they're breaking my windows now.
Yeah.
Could you please call them off? And that is very, very pertinent. And he doesn't want to jeopardize his career by testifying about that, because if he does, he's going to be making a choice, either his career or lying under oath.
Right.
So he really wanted to, just do everything he could to besmirch this this committee and make it so that he's going to be able to say, well, this isn't a real committee and this is a witch hunt and I'm not going to be part of it.
Yeah,
and,
but you know what?
It's a similar thing for Jim Jordan. He also, I don't know for sure that they're going to call him as a witness, but he also plotted with Trump about how to deal with the PR fallout of the insurrection.
Right.
So that makes him also liable. liable to be called. So they neither, you know, McCarthy shouldn't have even been, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, but McCarthy shouldn't have even been the one to pick the, who was going to be on this.
Not
committee.
At all.
He should have recused himself, and, but he would never do that.
Right. And here's something.
To protect himself.
Howie, I've been remiss because, frankly, I should be playing this clip every single day. This was not even the night of the insurrection when Mitch McConnell got up and made a speech leaving nothing to the imagination saying Donald Trump is responsible for this. But it was almost a week later. This clip is from the 13th of January. This is Kevin McCarthy.
The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters.
Hello.
He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump. Accept his share of responsibility, quell the brewing unrest, and ensure President-elect Biden is able to successfully begin his term.
That was Kevin McCarthy on the 13th of January before he went down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss Trump's mushroom dick or whatever. And all of a sudden now he, you know, he's done a complete 180. Kevin McCarthy so desperately wants to be speaker that he does this shit. Now, you have a candidate. There's a Blue America candidate who's running against him?
Yes, Bruno Amato.
Bruno Amato.
Who's a fantastic guy. I'm really getting to know him well. He is I was introduced to him a few years ago by Randy Bryce.
Iron Stash. Yes, Iron Stash.
They were both union steel workers. And veterans, Navy, both were Navy veterans. So Randy introduced us. I got to know him. There was a chance he was going to really run 2 years ago, and he didn't. And now he's running, and he's going to probably be, almost definitely be the Democratic nominee. It's funny because when, you know, in previous elections, no one knew who McCarthy was. People just didn't even know.
Right.
I mean, I've been watching the polling every week for years now that shows, you know, how do you feel about Pelosi? How do you feel about Trump? How do you feel about McConnell? And then, you know, it was, you know, it's usually pretty negative about all those people. But when it came to McCarthy, no one knew
who
he was.
There
was not, no negative, no positive. It was just, no, who is he? No one knew. And now, ever since he tangoed with Liz Cheney and it got all over the media, people do know who he is and have mostly negative feeling about him. So I think that Bruno has a shot to win. So you didn't have Bruno on the show yet,
I
right?
didn't. No, I have not met him yet. Where is he? What district? I know it's in California, but where?
You know, they have a little bit of L.A., just a tiny bit of L.A., but it's basically Bakersfield. So it's mostly Kern County.
Oh, boy.
And you know he's a working actor as well. By the way, I mean he used to work on the back of a garbage truck, and he wound up going to acting school. And he's a real actor, you know, with real credits, and he's been in movies and TV series and all that kind of stuff.
And now running for Congress.
He's a good guy. He's smart and funny and very quick on his feet. So I think that he'd be a good guest.
Cool. I would love to meet him, and especially anyone who's going to take on Kevin McCarthy. This guy is just horrible. I would have more respect for him if he stood his ground, stuck to an opinion. But hearing what he said on the 13th, no, he does. Obviously, the fact that he can come out and so forcefully say Donald Trump bears responsibility for this, there's no gray area there. It's very clear what he's saying. Trump is at fault. He probably thought this was going to be the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. This is going to be when the Republican Party says, oh my God, we're not going to lose everything because of this maniac. We need to take back ownership. And then when he realized that they weren't going to do that, he's like, oh shit, I better get my ass down to Mar-a-Lago and kiss some mushroom dick.
Yep. And that's what he did. And he's always been that way. He was the leader of the Republican minority in the California Assembly as well. And that's who he is. He's not even really an issue guy, believe it or not. He's just a very conservative, very crooked, bribe-taking Republican who wants to get along with his people and does whatever everybody else does. He's the opposite of a leader.
Right. Now, there was some years ago, us older people will remember, there was like the young guns in the Republican House caucus. It was Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy, and I forget who the third one was, but
Eric Cantor.
Eric Cantor, who was the only Jewish man in the Republican caucus, and he got voted out. He got primaried out. And then it was supposed to be McCarthy before Ryan, and McCarthy did, I don't remember the specifics, but something really stupid where he had to back off and couldn't run for speaker. Do you remember what that was? I don't remember what it was.
No, there's always been this thing around him that he's a rhino.
Well, because he has no convictions. He has no personal belief system. Apparently, he goes however the polls tell him to go.
Yep, that's who he's always been.
Wow.
We'll see if, the people in the district are getting hip to it now. I mean, it has a lot to do with voter registration. The Democrats haven't done their job in that district, which is pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's over 40% of the district is Hispanic now.
Wow.
And that's the kind of a district that Democrats should win, and it's not even close. It still has the most right-wing PVI of any district in California. I think it's an R+12. And it shouldn't be. It should really be a swing district.
Uh-huh.
But if Democrats did their job of registering the people who live there.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, Democrats not doing their job is nothing new, sadly. But this is an age-old complaint that we have. Howie Klein, before we run out of time, I got to ask. So last Thursday when we spoke, I told you about the Van Gogh exhibit. You were going to be right by where they were setting it up in L.A. We did go to the one in Miami last weekend, and it was magnificent. It's very trippy, so you don't even need the drugs. You just go in there, and you feel like you're on them. But it was way cool. Did you go by the site?
I did. I just a few hours after, I was on my way to a restaurant, and I went right by Amoeba, and I saw that it was there.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't seem
it's
like
not
it was
open yet.
Though.
No, they're still setting it up. It has not opened yet. It will open at the end of this month.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And I've talked to a few friends who want to go as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely go. It's very, very good. And if you go to the same one that I went to, because there's a couple of different tours going around the country, the world, I think. But the one we went to, at the end of the thing that you walk through, they have a virtual reality area where you go and you put on the glasses. You feel you go inside Van Gogh paintings. And it not only do you feel like you're tripping, you also feel like you're on a ride at Disney World. It's amazing. You turn around and you see that it's all encompassing. You're in the middle of it. It's fascinating. So
wow.
Go enjoy.
I absolutely want to go. And does it cost money?
Yes, it costs money. And it's not cheap. I mean, we're old now, so we got to get the senior citizens tickets. So, instead of $45, it was like $25. So,
I like that.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but it's really good. It's very well done. You can spend as much time as you want walking through the thing. So there's an exhibit part you walk through first, and then you go into the big immersive room where it's high ceilings, a huge room, and they have this stuff projected on all four walls, and that's the really trippy part. Like, whoa. It's pretty wild. I'll send you some videos. It's very cool.
Cool.
All right. Okay, Howie Klein. So until next week, I suppose.
Okay. Well, I'm going to introduce you to Bruno. And hopefully you'll have him come on with us.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Good. Yeah, just put him in touch with me. Also, one other thing that you may not realize, I realized it. Next weekend is the 40th anniversary of the beginning of MTV. And so I'm having Mark Goodman on the show because he's an old friend and he was like one of the original VJs. But can you believe it's been 40 years? How much things have changed since then? It's just...
Including MTV.
Including MTV. Well, as I said to him when we spoke the other day, I didn't even know if it's still on the air. And someone said to me, did you know that the M in MTV used to stand for music? I thought that was funny. So anyway, golly. We'll talk to Mark Goodman next week, too. Anyway, Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. Do check out the Blue America Pack and donate to these great progressives who are primarying the not great, you know, blue dogs. Because we can do better. Thank you, Howie Klein. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye. All right. And now, tomorrow, I have to run quickly today because I'm doing Brad's show. But we'll see you tomorrow along with Michael C. Bender, who wrote that Trump book. Oh, yeah. So tomorrow, see you then. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The World Health Organization has warned that the coronavirus will kill 100,000 more people by the time the Tokyo Olympics ends. Here in the U.S., officials are again discussing mask mandates as cases continue to mount. These new cases are ravaging more people in lower risk groups like young adults than in early waves of the pandemic. The CDC advisors are also meeting Thursday to review whether a booster shot of a COVID-19 vaccine will soon be necessary. At a CNN town hall Wednesday night in Ohio, President Biden expressed frustration over people who refused to get vaccinated.
One of those other networks is not a big fan of mine. But if you notice, as they say in the southern part of my state, they've had an altar call, some of those guys. All of a sudden, they're out there saying, let's get vaccinated. But that's, I shouldn't make fun of it. That's good.
While breakthrough infections do happen, new cases are overwhelmingly affecting the unvaccinated. And just in case you were wondering, Florida is leading the nation with 1 in 5 new cases coming from Ron DeSantis country. Yes, the man who wants to be president, who's put out merchandise emblazoned with the phrase, "Don't Fauci my Florida." In other news, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi on Wednesday rejected 2 of Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's nominees to the Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol by supporters of the former guy. McCarthy called the move to keep Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio off the panel, quote, an egregious abuse of power. And he said none of his picks would participate in the, quote, sham process unless Nancy Pelosi seated all of his nominees. Banks and Jordan are, of course, staunch Trump allies who questioned the Select Committee's legitimacy and voted to reject the certification of President Biden's win in some states hours after the insurrection on January 6th. Pelosi said keeping them off the committee would protect the investigation's integrity. McCarthy then threatened that the Republicans will run their own investigation. As others have pointed out, that's like O.J., conducting a search for the real killer. Well, as expected, Senate Republicans on Wednesday blocked the Democrats' attempt to open debate on the not yet fully written so-called bipartisan infrastructure plan. The vote was 49-51. All Republicans opposed it. All Democrats voted for it, but that left Democrats below the 60 votes needed to avoid the filibuster and start debate on a potential compromise on a key element of President Biden's agenda. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer then switched his vote to no in order to allow him to bring it back up again, which will happen probably early next week. So we know that the West Coast is on fire. Well, wildfires are raging around the planet as hot temperatures and dry conditions turn areas that have rarely burned in the past into tinderboxes. Most of Europe, the Western U.S., Southwest Canada, and some regions of South America and even Siberia experienced drier than average conditions last month, creating prime conditions for new fires and making the ongoing ones harder to battle. In California, Pacific Gas and Electric announced they will finally bury 10,000 miles of power lines to reduce the risk of starting any more fires. Equipment belonging to them has played a big role in sparking some of the deadliest wildfires in California so far. Now, where fire isn't a threat, the other extreme is. Widespread flooding in the central Chinese province of Henan has submerged entire neighborhoods, swept cars off of roadways, caused landslides, and overwhelmed dams and rivers. It all started with an intense rainfall that began battering the region last week. Horrifying scenes are playing out, rising floodwaters trapping passengers on subway cars and on nearby platforms in the province of Jiangsu. Several people died in that incident, and even more have died overall as a result of the floods. And if the effects of climate change aren't devastating enough, here in the U.S., we also have the extra scourge of a gun epidemic. The Justice Department has announced they're now launching a series of anti-gun trafficking strike forces to control sources of gun-related crime. They'll be based in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, the San Francisco Bay Area, and Washington, D.C. Those cities are known corridors where illegal guns are being trafficked and used in deadly shootings and other crimes. In general, gun violence has been on the rise, with year-to-date increases in homicides in three of the five task force cities. Last month, the president warned of the potential for more violence in the summer when crime often surges. Well, the official opening ceremony of the Olympics is just a day away, although some events are already happening. But these Olympic Games seem to be plagued. The organizing committee on Wednesday fired the director of the opening ceremony, Kentaro Kobayashi, because of a joke he made during a comedy show in 1998. He was fired just a day before the opening ceremony, which is going ahead despite the advice of medical experts. And finally, at the beginning of this report, I played a clip from President Biden's town hall with CNN Wednesday night. Well, here's another clip to end on. When asked about the need to get rid of the filibuster in order to protect our voting rights, while the president seemed to understand the problem, his solution didn't seem to go far enough.
Never before has there been an attempt by state legislatures to take over the ability to determine who won. Not count the votes. Determine who won. When I got to the United States Senate at a time when we had guys like Jim Eastland and Strom Thurmond and Robert F. Byrd and a whole range of people who were very, very conservative on race, to say the least. Even then, if you were to filibuster, you had to stand on the floor and hold the floor. There were significantly fewer filibusters in those days, in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement. I would go back to that where you have to maintain the floor. You have to stand there and talk and hold the floor. You can't just say
I understand now. That. But what difference is that if you hold the floor for, you know, a day or a year? What difference does it make? Why is protecting the filibuster, is that more important than protecting voting rights, especially for people who fought and died for that?
No. It's not.
If it's a relic of Jim Crow, it's been used to fight against civil rights legislation historically, why protect it?
There's no reason to protect it other than you're going to throw the entire Congress into chaos and nothing will get done.
All right.
Nothing at all will get done. Yeah. And there's a lot at stake. The most important one is the right to vote. That's the single most important one. And your vote counted, and count it by someone who honestly counts it. I got
the... And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.